Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with T. Frank Carr, and it's quarter number three, which means it's time to ask T. Frank. This is where we have T. Frank answer your Penn State football, recruiting, or life questions. So if you want to submit a question, you can download our app from the App Store. Just search on Keystone Sports, or you can email us at info@ksnsports.net. At the end of the segment, we'll select the best question, and that winner will get the great KSN sweatshirt. Are you all ready, T. Frank?
I'm good to go. Let's do it.
We are starting with the life question. This is Doug from Wellsboro. He says, T. Frank, a life advice question. When is it too early to put up your Christmas tree?
Well, if you're asking that question, then it's too early. So I'll start there. If you're asking whether or not you should put up your Christmas tree or when you should, you probably have a bad feel for it. I've always been fine with especially I grew up with artificial Christmas trees, so we didn't have a real one to dye in the living room. Anytime after Thanksgiving, you know, not Thanksgiving Day. Some people are nuts about that. Of like, okay, we got the eating out of the way. Let's go shopping and then put up the Christmas trees and basically like cut the knees out of Thanksgiving. Watch your football, hang out with your friends, ignore your dad while he sleeps on the couch. And then that weekend, if you want to put up the Christmas lights and the Christmas tree and all that stuff on the 30th, that's fine. Anytime in December is fine. The question then becomes, when do you take it down? If you're one of those people that keeps it up into January, you're holding on a little too long. So I think that's fair.
All right. I go by the holiday standard, which means you don't talk about Thanksgiving till after Halloween. You don't talk about Christmas till after Thanksgiving. And if you reach New Year's Day, that's when you got to take the Christmas tree down. So I think we're right in line there.
This brings up something I used to talk about all the time in my previous job on the radio of too soon season. Too soon season is when you have pumpkin spice lattes in August and you have Thanksgiving decorations in September and you have Christmas in September and you have Christmas in October. It's like pushing the next holiday on you. Easter showing up in February is too much. So that's where we are when it comes to advertising the next holiday.
All right, let's move on. Brad in Perkasie says, at the end of the first half, can you explain James Franklin's rationale on the clock management?
Yes, and he talked about this after the game. I talked about this on my post game. I always like that when I'm right, you know, and I'm like just shooting in the dark of like, this is what I think is going on. So first off, here's two things that are important to remember. Mike Locksley had two timeouts, and they were getting the ball after halftime. Penn State was not playing particularly well on offense. I think they only had 7 points at that point. And Maryland had just scored. So it was the decision of the coaching staff to bleed the clock. We're not going to try and get any extra points because we've been 50-50 in those situations so far this season if you're Penn State. Interceptions going into halftime from Sean Clifford have happened in the Auburn game, and then another time I'm trying to think of, but I can't remember specifically. And then they've been okay. They got a field goal at Ohio State. But just in general, this time we're deciding to play it a little more safe. We're going to bleed the clock. Then you get 10 yards on two plays. And you go, okay, the clock has stopped. We got 10 yards. Maybe we want to try something. Throw the ball. Didn't work. Wasn't there. He threw the ball away. Okay, fine. So then you get another 10 yards on first down, or on the next two downs. And this is where the problem I have is then he takes the timeout to say, are we now going to take a shot? We got 20 yards. We're sort of in field goal. We're sort of in Hail Mary range. But at the same time, you bled all but 3 seconds off the clock. So there's no room for anything other than a 0.00001% chance. So Penn State ultimately did what they wanted to do to start, which is bleed the clock. But they kind of double clutched at the very end after getting 20 yards rushing. That's the only difference of it looked silly, but the process of they made sure that Maryland didn't get the ball and that they didn't give them a bunch of time left at the end of the half because it would have been, you know, maybe 60 seconds, two timeouts, Taulia Tagovailoa. That's a recipe for a field goal. So that's what was going on.
It did seem, though, rather conservative, the initial decision over a minute left, have your timeouts, senior quarterback, experienced, and you chose to shut it down. That seems a bit conservative to a lot of Penn State fans.
Sure, and then in other situations, you know, I know it's a different story, but against Illinois, where they're going for fourth downs or other situations where Penn State's too aggressive, it's an opinion. That to me, I guess that's, there was no mismanagement in any situation because it wasn't like they failed to get their objective, which was to bleed the clock. If you believe that to be the case and what you say, that is a difference of opinion between you and what James Franklin wanted to do there. There was no actual mismanagement of anything.
And of course, that late timeout to then just kneel down, it's one of those things that always looks bad.
Yes.
Let's move on to next question. Yes, that it's the appearance thing. Let's go to Joe in Ebensburg, who says, T. Frank, sorry for calling you Frank last week. I could have sworn I put the T in there, so I question Jim's reading of the question. Well, just a note, this is now Jim talking. Jim went back and took a look. Joe, you didn't have the T there, okay? So don't blame Jim. Anyway, he has a question. I saw that Brandon Smith is a finalist for the Butkus Award. I'm pretty sure anyone who watches the games would recognize Ellis Brooks as our best linebacker. Why was there no love for him? What does your film review say about the two? And he says he'll take number 13 all day.
Brandon Smith makes highlight-level plays, and Ellis Brooks makes everyday plays. I mean, that's why certain people like those two different players. Brandon Smith has been very good in coverage. He has been an impact player, making plays in the flat, and when people are looking at stuff, you know, they're not watching the film. They're watching, you know, how many tackles for a loss does he have? And Brandon Smith has been active in games at the other side of the line of scrimmage. Pressure. He got a tipped pass on a really good play in cover two, where he's dropping into that really hard spot for linebackers, and he used his big frame to get the tip and almost an interception. So, but Ellis Brooks plays the position with intelligence and discipline and quickness. I think positionally he's been the better overall player, but they've both been good this year. So I don't. We always get comparative, right? We always get to the point of, well, X or Y, A or B, blue or green. And, you know, I think they both serve different functions in this defense. If it was Ellis Brooks next to Ellis Brooks, Penn State would be giving up more yards and more big plays because you need the guy to erase some of those speed guys in the flat. Ellis Brooks can't do that. But Ellis Brooks is going to take on a guard, make a big pile in the middle of the point of attack, and then let Brandon Smith come in and scrape up and clean up. So I think they've both been good, but the areas that Brandon Smith has been bad at have been a little bit worse than what Ellis Brooks has not been good at. I guess that's really the downside of the two. Brooks has been good in coverage, but not as great.
One of the things, too, I think you also have to recognize with this type of thing, T. Frank, is who are the players who get the publicity? Who are the players who get the push by the coaching staff?
Right.
And you had Brandon Smith as a very highly ranked recruit coming in, very highly thought of. And then if you watch, and it was happening even last year, almost every game you'll hear the announcer early in the game talk about Brandon Smith and how special he is. And typically, these announcers who covers games across the country, when you're hearing them say things like that, they're typically fed something by the coaching staff or somebody else. So I think Brandon Smith has gotten the hype even before the season started, and that's part of it.
Yeah. All right, also, 6'4", 240, and runs a 4.5 or a 4.4. I mean, everyone loves that. There is the sizzle about Brandon Smith that's fair.
Right. That type of thing will definitely get your attention. Jared in Ohio says, it seems Penn State leans away from six-year players, but assuming they lose to one of the Michigans and finish 8-4 or worse, and Franklin is back, how hard do you think he's going to push for Sean Clifford to return?
I don't want to answer this question. Okay, so this is what I said in my recent article recapping Maryland. With some fans that are upset about Sean Clifford and this offense being inconsistent and what's wrong, maybe in the situation where Sean Clifford has to be the offense, this is as good as he can do. So this is the upper limit on Sean Clifford. Fifth-year player who's playing very well in a lot of different situations. But there are places that are not getting better when it comes to his football production. So let me ask you, do you want more of that next year? Because it might be 9-3 again. I mean, there might be a better running game, but I don't know that there's anything about Sean Clifford that's going to change. So the opinion of Sean Clifford coming back or not changes literally with how the game is played that week. If Penn State goes out and the offense can't move the ball and everything stays the same, but they lose, we're not getting this question next week. So it's not about Sean Clifford. It's about everything around him. So I don't know. I don't know if there's going to be a better option in the transfer portal. That's going to be decided by the transfer portal. James Franklin has said he doesn't want transfer. He doesn't want guys staying for 6 years. They're treating the COVID year like it doesn't exist. But there are always going to be circumstances and always going to be exceptions. And Sean Clifford might be one, but I don't know because it's going to be about what is out there.
Well, I think you brought up a good point with the transfer portal. Oftentimes, it's always said the most popular player on a team is the backup quarterback. Don't think that's the case at Penn State right now. Nope. Probably the most popular player is the guy out in Ohio who's quarterbacking his high school team. And yep. I think the question there, the variable is, do you trust, say, Drew Aller to come in as a true freshman and start from day one? If your answer is no, then you want Sean Clifford to return, or you better be really confident you could bring someone in through the portal, correct?
No coaching staff wants to start a true freshman. Zero coaching staffs want to start a true freshman. I'll say it one more time. Zero. So there will be another option. There will be another answer. I just don't know if it's Sean Clifford.
Well, and this is just personal opinion from my perspective. I think you got to want Sean Clifford to come back because the alternatives aren't very good. All right, T. Frank, we need a winner.
Oh, I was trying to get through that question quickly so we get another one. I don't like any of these questions. let's go Brad about the end of the half coaching. Just
all right.
Just for that. Because I have his name written down. I missed the other names.
Okay. The Christmas tree guy didn't get the win. That is it for quarter number three. Stick around in quarter number four. Dustin Schutte will be here, and we'll talk all things Big Ten football. Stay tuned. Fans are back, and so is tailgating. That means GoPSURV.com is also back. Regular listeners of Keystone Sports know all about it. Drive your car to Happy Valley, and an RV is there waiting for you. Tailgate nonstop from Friday to Sunday. Don't hassle with parking, as a free shuttle will take you to and from the game. For more info, go to gopsurv.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating, oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.